God, we can never say thank you enough. We can never really present to you our love and even understand the amount of gratification that we need to have for such a holiday as this, for such a sacrifice that was made for us. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, God. I ask that you would anoint the internet today and all of the services going over the World Wide Web everywhere in the world. I pray that millions of lives are changed today because of your sacrifice, because of your love and your forgiveness, because of your word, your gospel that's being spread to the world today. And I thank you for that, God. Thank you, Lord. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. Amen. I tell you what, I'm so excited because, you know, sometimes, and maybe it's a holiday like this, but when you think about it, because Jesus rose from the dead, it doesn't matter what kind of life we're going through right now. Regardless of the things that you woke up in your world today, Jesus rose from the dead. God loves you and wants you to be a part of his family. We've got a pretty bright future ahead of us because you're a pretty big deal to God, right? That's exciting. Hallelujah. Are you excited for the life, the torture, the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ in your life? And I pray that you are. And we are honored that you would be here with us today. Thank you so much for joining us. I've got a short sermon for you today, so hang on, get your Bibles ready, get some notes ready, and I want to share with you some things. During this type of holiday, during Resurrection Sunday, one of the things that I think about, seems like every year now, is that I'm always kind of amazed and curious about the reaction of Jesus' disciples when they find out that Jesus was risen from the dead. And I think, I don't know. I think I would have known, right? Have you ever thought about that? Now, I know part of what I'm going to say today may sound a little judgmental or sarcastic, and I want you to hang with me because in the end, I'm not going to be judgmental at all. But let's just face facts. Let's look at it for what the Bible says, right? I believe that there were several signs in the Bible that the disciples could have picked up on to know that, hey, you should be ready and camping out in front of the tomb because on the third day, Jesus is going to come out, right? I think I would have chanced that. But let's look at all the signs. I want you to look at these with me. In the Old Testament, there are prophecies. Now, a lot of these, especially the Jewish disciples, they knew the Old Testament. They knew all that stuff. There were several prophecies about Jesus' death and resurrection. Zechariah 12:10 has this: "So they will look on me whom they have pierced, and they will mourn for him as one mourns for an only son." There's a lot of prophecy about it in Isaiah. Let's just read a few of these. These are some words in Isaiah. "Surely our griefs he himself bore, our sorrows he carried. But he was pierced through for our transgression. He was crushed for our iniquities. The chastening of our well-being fell upon him, and by his scourging we are healed. Yet he himself bore the sin of many and interceded for the transgressors." There's a lot of prophecy about Jesus in his life and death and resurrection in the Old Testament. I've heard some teachers say there are far over 20 just about the death and resurrection. But some of them would surely have known that. Now, obviously, we read in the New Testament that Jesus himself told them. As a matter of fact, in the Synoptic Gospels, Matthew, Mark, and Luke, at least three times, three different occasions in each one of those books is recorded the time that Jesus told them that he, the Son of Man, would die and be resurrected from the grave. Let me read some examples for you. Let's just get a good feel and a good picture of what we're looking at, right? When Jesus asked him, "Who do you say that I am?" in Luke 9 and 22, he said, "The Son of Man must suffer many things and be rejected by the elders and chief priests and scribes and be killed and be raised up on the third day." In Matthew 17, 22, Jesus said to them, "The Son of Man is going to be delivered into the hands of men. They will kill him, and he will be raised the third day." Luke 18, 31, hang with me. I know we're getting the picture, but I really want to drive this home. Jesus then took the 12 aside and said to them, "Behold, we're going up to Jerusalem, and all things which were written through the prophets about the Son of Man will be accomplished. For he will be handed over to the Gentiles, he will be mocked and mistreated and spit upon, and after they have scourged him, they will kill him, and the third day he will rise again." Jesus also said, referenced Jonah, the story of Jonah in Matthew 12, 14. "Just as Jonah was 3 days and three nights in the belly of the sea monster, so will the Son of Man be 3 days and three nights in the heart of the earth." So they've been told by Jesus himself. And actually, we find out that other people outside of the disciples suspected the same thing. If you'll remember, King Herod was so confident about the stories and the prophecies about a king Messiah, a Jewish king, being born during his reign, that he had all the babies killed in that area. In Matthew 2, 5 through 6, it says that. Remember the woman at the well? She was Samaritan, right? She said this in John 4, 25. She said to Jesus, "I know that Messiah is coming, he who is called Christ. When that one comes, he will declare all things to us." Verse 26, Jesus said, "I'm that guy." Ta-da! Actually, he says, "I am who you speak of, I am he," something like that. Okay, remember the authorities, after Jesus died and he was buried, okay? The authorities went to Pilate. Read this with me. Matthew 27, 62. "On the next day, the day after the preparation, the chief priests and the Pharisees gathered together with Pilate and said, 'Sir, we remember that when he was still alive, that deceiver said, after 3 days, I am to rise again.'" Even his enemies suspected that Jesus was going to be raised again on the third day. And then we go to the after the fact. Jesus is raised from the third day. Some of the disciples and some other people, both the Marys, Mary and Mary, they run to the tomb. In Matthew, his account of it says, "The angel said to the women, 'Do not be afraid, for I know that you are looking for Jesus who has been crucified. He is not here, for he is risen, just as he said.'" In Luke 24 and 6, the angel said, "He is not here, but he has risen. Remember how he spoke to you while he was still in Galilee, saying the Son of Man must be delivered into the hands of sinful men and be crucified and the third day rise again." Jesus told the two disciples on the road to Emmaus, he said, "O foolish men and slow of heart to believe in all that the prophets have spoken." And, of course, we read in Matthew, he said to his disciples, 24 and 44, "These are my words which I spoke to you while I was still with you, that all things were written about me in the law of Moses, and the prophets and Psalms must be fulfilled." He told them again what was going to happen to him or what had happened to him, and that he revealed that to them. Now, I keep thinking, you know, possibly Jesus had this attitude. I mean, he didn't, but what if he did? Because I keep on the inside, he's trying to be Christ-like, but on the inside, he's saying, "What's the last thing I told you?" It's kind of like my parents used to do. Now, I know I've told this story before, but it's funny. My parents used to say those words. Maybe all parents do. I'm going to say it to my grandkids, I think, from now on. What's the last thing I told you? Because I, like, for instance, I got the first pocket knife my dad gave me when I was a little boy. First pocket knife. He said, now don't cut yourself. And 15 minutes later, I was bleeding. What's the last thing I told you? Mom would say, don't fall down. A little bit later, what's the last thing I told you? You see, I feel like at some point they begin to just say random commands to me just so that they could have the possibility of saying those lines again. What's the last thing I told you? Right? I had great parents, the best. And that's a funny story that we will laugh at forever. I'm going to tell them all about it when I get to heaven and talk with them. But I picture sometimes that maybe Jesus would want to say something like that. What's the last thing I told? Where were you guys? I said I would be out in 3 days, and I come out, no one's there. What were you thinking? What did I say? Jesus was Italian, that's what. What did I say? That's what he would have said. Now, so I even said one time, I'm gonna give the disciples a hard time at some point when we get up to heaven, because I know that they may be embarrassed by that. I don't know the whole story, but and I know that some of this sounds sarcastic and judgmental, but let me tell you this. Here's what God's teaching me. When I usually find myself that way, thinking about a Bible story or someone in the past, thinking I don't understand why they didn't get it, it's a perfect time for God to teach me a lesson, and that lesson is I'm probably doing something very similar, maybe the very same. And I go, ouch. In other words, what has God said to me in my life that is biblically crystal clear, okay? But it doesn't seem like I have a handle on it yet. The disciples are probably looking down at Jeff Donaldson and saying, what's the last thing he said? For instance, some of us, you know, we may love the scripture, he's not given me a spirit of fear. But we might have a hard time with when Jesus said, don't allow your heart to be troubled. You don't allow your heart to be troubled. Well, God, I want you to help me because I'm afraid. God says, what did I say? We love the scripture says, I will never leave you or forsake you. But we might have a hard time with Matthew 5:44, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you. That becomes real life and real tough when you find your life has an enemy in it that's trying to take you down in some way or aggravate you in some way. And all of a sudden, it becomes difficult to love and pray for them. We might have love that scripture in Matthew 11:28. Come to me, all you who are weary and heavy and burdened, and I will give you rest. But we might have a little bit more difficult time with Matthew 6:19. Jesus says, don't store up treasures on earth for yourself. Don't do it. Store them up in heaven. Look it up. Matthew 16:19-20. 6:19-20. We don't have a problem with John 16:24 where he says, ask and you shall receive. We like that one. Perhaps I need to ask myself, what am I doing about Matthew 28:19? Go and make disciples of all nations. Baptize them. Ouch, right? All of a sudden the finger's pointing back at me, and so it should. What's the last thing he told us? So what I did, as I begin to write down, take notes of the last things that Jesus said in each of his Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. What's the last thing he said? So I thought I would put them all together and kind of see what the basic message is for the last thing that Jesus said to us, okay? The last thing he said in Matthew 28:19-20. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and Son and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I commanded you, and lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. So we boil that down, and remember the gospel he's talking about is the good news of God's love and forgiveness. So he says, go spread the good news of God's love and forgiveness. I will be with you always. The last thing he said in Mark 16 and 15 and on is almost the same. Go into all the world and preach the gospel to all creation, baptizing them. Believe, he said, lay hands on the sick. Now, I know that these are four different accounts of the same time period of Jesus, but I want to see what the disciples and what the writers of these books heard. So in Mark, it was almost the same thing. Spread the good news of God's love and forgiveness. And he said, believe. And he said, lay hands on the sick. Okay? The last thing he said in Luke 24, 46 through 49. Thus it is written that the Christ would suffer and rise again from the dead the third day, and that repentance for forgiveness of sins would be proclaimed in his name to all the nations, beginning in Jerusalem. And later he said, stay in the city until you're clothed with power from on high. So in Luke, we summarize Luke, last words of Jesus, and we get spread the good news of God's love and forgiveness and be clothed with power from on high. Now, John had a different account of the last thing that Jesus said to John. It's in John 21, 21 and 22. This is a wee bit different. Listen to this. So Peter, seeing him, so Peter was looking at John, and he was looking at Jesus, and then Peter was like, Lord, what about this man? And Jesus said to him, If I want him to remain until I come, what is that to you? You follow me. Ooh. I love that. He kind of put him in his place. And with that, he's also put me in my place. William Barclay translates it this way. Never mind the task that is given to someone else. Your job is to follow Christ. Don't worry about what someone else's relationship looks like. You be you, boo. Right? You do you. Do you realize that as Christians, we are not called to convince others to live like we do? See? We're not called to convince other people to live like we do. We're called to love and spread the good news of God's love and forgiveness. We're not called to argue our viewpoint. We're called just to love and spread the good news of God's love and forgiveness. So if we summarize all of these things, the last thing that Jesus said to us, we summarize this, we're going to be like this. God is with you. Believe and don't worry. You've been given power from on high. Don't concern yourself with others and the judgment of others. You just follow Christ. And the overwhelming theme of the last words of Jesus Christ on this earth are these. Go tell people of God's love and forgiveness. What's the last thing that he told us? Go tell people of God's love and forgiveness. Spread the gospel. God wants you to know so badly. He loves you so much, more than you can even imagine. God loves you so much that he gave his only begotten son to be the ultimate sacrifice for your sins. And if you believe on him, you will not perish. You will not have, but you will have eternal life. This message is paramount for the world. God wants you to get it. And then when you get it, God wants you to give it. Jesus is life. The torture, his death, his resurrection was because of God's love for you. Your sins, your guilt, and your shame has been paid for and expunged. You're a big deal to God. For those who are not yet Christians, make today the beginning of your eternity. Believe, ask forgiveness for your mistakes, and call in or comment. Put a comment in the comment section if you can. If you're on one of the platforms that doesn't have comment sections, get the number to our church and call in, or get my number and call me. Tell somebody about your decision to follow Christ. And tell somebody about God's love and forgiveness and how it happened to you, and that it can happen to everybody. Because God so loved the world. And if you are a Christian today, remember this. What's the last thing God told you? I have to ask myself hard questions sometimes. I think it helps us grow. Are you making an effort of some kind to tell the world about God's love and forgiveness? In all of those things that Jesus said at the last, go and tell people about God's love and forgiveness. God wants the world to know, and he wants you to know, how much he loves you, and the forgiveness of sins can get you into an eternal heavenly home. If you have prayer requests today, or you've made an important decision, we'd love to hear from you. Give us a call, make a comment online. People are praying online, and we're going to stay live here in a little bit, and we're going to play a little bit more music, and maybe even enter into some worship. But we want you to know that God loves you very much. And God wants you to be a part of his family. And I want you to pray with me right now. Father God, we are honored to be in your presence. We are honored to be a part of your family. And I pray that someone out there heard this message, your message today, and is feeling good about their eternal life right now, and wants to give their life completely and totally and wholly to you. And I pray that you will impact people's eternities in the name of Jesus. I pray for the needs that are coming in, God, and I pray for healing for those that need it. And I pray that all of us watching today will begin a path right now of growth, spiritual growth, in the name of Jesus, and that our relationship with our Father God would get stronger and stronger every single day. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. Amen. Well, once again, I love you. You honor me by watching this and being here with us. And we're going to sing another song, but I want you to take with you the ability to impact lives. And remember, what's the last thing that God said to you? And sometimes we got to go back to that, lay our foundation there and go on. But God loves you, and he wants the world to know that God loves them. Amen? Amen.